Okay, so let's look at the Shulchan Aruch about Mechiras Chametz, and we'll work from here. Okay, most of the things we're going to discuss are going to be mostly on Nachronim, just because those are more of the practical details of how this works. All right. So look at the Shulchan Aruch. He says in Siv Gimel, the first section of Siv Gimel is actually not so relevant to us. Okay, the first one is basically the first line is about Chamish Avar Lava Pesach, which is obviously what happened. Don't sell your chametz to a goy. That if it's Chamish Avar Lava Pesach, Asher Bahana. Okay, you can't get any hanah from Chametz Shavar Lava Pesach that a Jew owned during Pesach. Afili Nichol B'Shogeg Onus. Doesn't matter what the problem was or why it was Chametz Shavar Lava Pesach. Bottom line is, if it was owned by a Jew on Pesach, then it is Asher B'Hanah. You cannot use it after Pesach. Okay, that we're not going to talk about now. But it is an interesting and major sugya after Pesach, especially in places where they have, you know, Jews that own some of the supermarkets and other things. In this country, if you suspect that maybe people didn't do a proper mechira, would you say?
Yeah, it's a big problem here.
Yeah, yes, it's a question here. Again, you know, most reputable stories do some sort of mechira, and then they, you know, they have questions of, you know, where the things that they get afterwards, where did they come from, right. Where they baked, you know, who owned them during Pesach. Questions, but that's why sometimes you'll find on the package of the right nitcham achar Pesach, you know, where it's made after Pesach, so that you have no chashash. But most people rely on, you know, the mechiras, and everything along the way was done properly, and it's okay. All right, so now let's get to the main part of for us right now. The next line, he says, "V'machro onastu le'eno Yehudi shemichus labayis kodem Pesach." If you gave it or sold it to a non-Jew outside of the home before Pesach, that's an important point which we'll discuss in a minute. Af al pisha yishol makiro le'eno Yehudi, even though the Jew knows the non-Jew, the odeya bo shaliga bo klal, and he knows he's not going to touch it at all. Just the non-Jew is going to hold it for him after Pesach. Okay, he's not actually going to use it. Still, the after you know that the non-Jew is going to give it back to you after Pesach. Mutter. Okay, it's mutter. The Shulchan Aruch says black on white that it is mutter. Okay, and that's again the basis for our mechira, that we know that he's going to give it back right after Pesach. That's mutter, according to the way that we paskin in the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Rishonim and the Beis Yosef and the Shemitah Desh and others. Uvilvad, he says, she had never lo matana gemura. As long as it's a matana gemura, if it's a gift, it's given as a complete gift, belishum tanai, without any conditions attached to it. Oshim karenu l'mechira gemura, or if it's done as a mechira gemura, okay, it's done as a sale, not as a gift, rather as a sale, which was what we do today, as a mechira gemura, a complete mechira. Bidavar muat, with a small amount, meaning that even if you only, the non-Jew only buys it for a very small amount of money, meaning, say you sell, you know, people's, you know, 20, you know, 200 people's worth of chametz. Okay, that's a lot of money that it's worth. The non-Jew buys it for $20. Okay, is that okay? It's very small. It's not. It's ki'ilu. It's a joke, right? Because you're giving so the Shulchan Aruch says that that's sufficient. Okay, that even though it's a very small amount of money, that is good enough. Okay, we'll get back to that later. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Then he says, "Va matana anas la'achzer l'mahani," but a matana anas la'achzer, a matana on condition to return is not that's not valid. Okay, that's no good. Again, we'll come back to that later. Exactly why that is. But this is the halacha in the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Dalad. We're not going to go through this now, but the Sif Dalet also has another case of the non-Jew taking the chametz of the Jew based on the Tosefta. This case is a little more tricky and it's not so helpful for us. We're not going to go into it right now. Okay. So that's basically the story. Let's talk about some of the different factors that are halachic questions when it comes to a mechira. Okay, what are the halachic potential problems and why today there are so many questions about the mechira, in addition to the fact that, you know, the original source was something which was not necessarily so, you know, set as a regular custom, plus that Ritva, who seems to say you can't do harama, he maybe says you can't do it every year, which again may not be our custom. But there are other problems as well, which we have to go through. Okay? If you go back to the middle of the Shulchan Aruch, so he says that if you sell it to the non-Jew, shemichutz labayis, okay, it's got to be outside the house. That's valid. Where's that from? So if you look on the side there, the Ber HaGola, this is based on the Trumas HaDeshen. All right? The Trumas HaDeshen is quoted in the Beis Yosef, basically says that that the Chametz has to be outside of the Jew's house. So two questions. First, why is that the case? Number one, why is that the case? Number two, well, how does anybody do a Mechira today? We all have the Chametz inside our house. So is that valid or not? So in terms of question number one, why is this necessary? So here again, most of the stuff, by the way, that I'm going to be saying is mostly in the Mishnah Berurah. Okay, it's really, he does a great job of quoting, you know, putting everything together here. So the Mishnah Berurah says in Sif Katan Yud Beis, okay, explains what the problem is here. It's right in the middle, Sif Katan Yud Beis, and basically what he does is he explains that really to understand why there's a problem, you have to appreciate a different halacha, which is in Siman Tav Mem. Okay, in Siman Tav Mem, we talk about a case where a Jew is holding onto a deposit of a non-Jew. Okay, the Jew has chametz in his house. That's halachically permitted. Okay, as long as it doesn't belong to the Jew. Okay, this is based on the same Gemara in Daf Hei Masachim, that if it's not yours, it's fine. All right. So that's the case of a pikadon that belongs to the non-Jew. That's permitted. However, what you need there, according to that, according to the Shulchan Aruch, is you need a mechita of ten tefachim, meaning you need to have separation to make sure that you are not going to come to eat from that chametz. So there, in that context, in Siman Tav Mem, we say that a separation of 10 tefachim is sufficient. Now, again, there are different cases there, exactly, you know, whose chametz and where, and how is it, what type of pikadon was it, what type of deposit was it, what type of responsibility did the Jew have in terms of, you know, getting lost, etc., etc. It's all discussion there in Siman Tav Mem. But the basic point is that if it's a pikadon, then the halacha is that all you need is a mechitz of 10 tefachim. That's in Siv Beis, in Siman Tav Mem. Okay? So, if that's true, then why, in this case, when you sell it, does it need to be outside the house? Right? All you should need is a mechitz of 10 tefachim. That should be sufficient. That's the question. That's why the Achronim have to come in here and try to explain what this is based on. Okay? I mean, Trumas Hadeshin himself doesn't quite spell that out exactly. So here in the Mishnah Berurah, he quotes two different approaches in the Achronim of why this might be the case. If you look, he says, it's not right at the beginning of Sif Katan Yud Beis, it's a little bit down, a little farther in the middle, like about 7 or 8 lines down. He says, Mashi Tzricho Achal Hotzi Achamitz Mirashu, so Afal Pisha Machro Kvar, even though you already sold it. V'uetzlod Pikadon Bi'alma V'lo Achrayas. All it is a deposit with you, without Achrayas, meaning as long as you don't have responsibility for it, if it gets lost or whatever, it's not yours, you're just holding on to it. Okay, normally we don't need to get send it out of the house in that case. So first he quotes the Chok Yaakov, Degal Mekana Dinkin. He says, here also, that's the halacha. Aye, so then why do you have to take it out of your house? So that the goy can be koneh the chametz b'mashicha, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But basically, one of the main methods of kinyanim for the goy to be koneh the chametz as movables is mashicha. Okay, pick it up and pull it out of the house and bring it to your rishus, or at least to public rishus. So he says that's really why you need to take the chametz out of the house. Okay, to make sure that you do mashicha. But he says if he already was koneh through mashicha outside of the house, or with the other kinyanim, which we'll learn about, lahalacha, if it's done properly, then he can bring it right back into the Jew's house. That is permitted. And you only need a mechitza of 10 tefachim. Okay, so that's according to the Chok Yaakov, which basically would be, that'd be mutter, if you do mashicha, to bring it back inside. Today, according to the Chok Yaakov, it's a little more complicated because there's so much chametz today. You know, the goy can't go to every single person's house and pick up the chametz and bring it out. Mm. It can't happen. But what you could say, according to the Chok Yaakov, is that if the only reason why you do it is for Mashiach, and today, we'll see later, we have other ways of getting around that problem of Mashiach, we do, you know, 7 other kinyanim to make sure that, you know, that it really belongs to the goy, then maybe today it shouldn't be a problem to keep the chametz in your house. Okay, perhaps. Because anyway, we can't do Mashiach, so obviously we have to use other kinyanim. Once you use other kinyanim, then that's fine. Okay, then halachically belongs to the goy, and therefore, even if it's in the house, there's no problem. And all you need is a mechitza of 10 tefachim. That would be the way out, why we're not makbid, according to the Chok Yaakov. Right? Now, there are other achronim that disagree. Other achronim are a little more machmir. And this is in the next, right afterwards, in the next section of the Mishnah Berurah, he quotes a few other achronim, and they say the following. Okay, this is based on the Pri Chodesh, the Ola Shavas, and a few other people. He says, V'kam achronim kasvu, d'hach megregar. This case is worse. Kevan d'ikar ha-chametz yodeh ha-akam shal yishal. So in this case, the main chametz the non-Jew knows really belongs to the Jew. The non-Jew is not really going to touch the chametz. He's not going to walk into the Jew's closet and start eating up his chametz. Okay, that's pretty obvious. Therefore, mechzei kechametz shel Yisrael in my aveso. Therefore, it appears to be, it looks like it's chametz that belongs to the Jew if it's sitting in the Jew's house. Okay, and also an additional concern that maybe the Jew's going to come to eat it. Since it's his to begin with, he's not going to stay away from it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, Mr. Burr explains, according to this Svara, even if you made a separate corner of your house, this corner belongs to the non-Jew. All the chametz belongs to him. Or you made a mechitza. In this case, we said before, in a case of pikadon, then a mechitza is good enough. So here, if you made a mechitza, he says, nami lo mahani. Okay, it's not going to work. Okay, that's not going to be good enough. Why? Because in this case, it's different than a pikadon. Why? In the case of a pikadon, you're taking chametz which belongs to a non-Jew and holding on to it. Okay, are you going to start eating somebody else's, you know, cake and cereal that they put in your house? Probably not. You're going to be careful. You know that it belongs to a non-Jew. To somebody else, you're going to keep it safe and you're going to make sure not to eat it. When it comes to your own food, though, your own, you know, cookies and your own cereal and your own, maybe not bread, whatever it is, okay, that's already, hold on. It belongs to the non-Jew. There's a mechitza of 10 tefachim. But once you know that it's yours and it was yours, there's still more of a chance that we're free. You may come to eat it accidentally, even if there's a mechitza of 10 tefachim, because you're so used to it. You're so used to seeing your food in your house that you'll forget and you'll just come to eat it automatically without thinking. That's what these achronim are worried about here. And therefore, they say that for these two reasons, A, that it looks like the chametz of a Jew, even though it really belongs to the goy because it's in his house, and B, because we're afraid he's going to come to eat it because he's so used to it, because it used to belong to him, that you shouldn't have the chametz in your house. That's the reason, the achronim's reason, explaining why the Trumas Hadeshin came up with this thing that it can't be in your house. Okay, so now let's work from there. There is a question, even though we said before in the Mishnah Berurah that you can't designate a specific corner or section of your house for your chametz and say that section belongs to the non-Jew. Mishnah Berurah we saw in a minute ago that he doesn't allow. Okay, the Vilna Gra and the Elia Rabba, many others say as well. That's not going to work because of, again, what we said, that he may come to eat it or it looks like his chametz. The Taz happens to hold that it is allowed. Okay, the Taz disagrees with most of the Achronim. He holds that setting aside a specific portion of your house is permitted to do and to put your chametz there. Again, ideally you should have a chachitza, but a ten tefachim, which is not that high, by the way. But the Taz says that it's really to make a separate corner of your house is permitted. Again, the minute today is generally against the Taz because most of the Achronim disagree for the reasons we mentioned. But again, just be aware, there is a Taz out there. There's a kula that that some hold that you can designate one section of your house if need be. Okay. So again, if you're stuck, you can hold back the Taz. But for everybody today who everybody sells their chametz and they keep their chametz in their house, so the Taz may by itself may not be enough of a defense of the custom to allow it. So then the question becomes, well, how can you actually store your chametz inside your house?
Yeah.
Okay? What's the heter? So again, first we have the Taz. Number two, again, this doesn't really matter, but at least we know Iker Din is fine. If you look at the next line in the Mishnah Berurah, he says in brackets there, this is Ela Chachila. He says it's Pashat bin the Evid that Iker Din, that this doesn't Aser the Chametz bin the Evid. Okay, even if you didn't specify a place, okay, if the sale was a valid sale in every other way, then the Chametz belongs to a Goy and that's fine. Okay, you don't have to get rid of it, you don't have to take it outside of your house, it's all Chumrah. Mikra din the mechira, if the mechira is kosher, then that's it. Mechira is kosher, it belongs to the non-Jew. The Jew is not over bali ra bali matzer. Okay, so that's another point to keep in mind. Now, the whole thing here is an important chumrah that we're imposing, but it doesn't affect the ikra hadin status that if the mechira is valid, then it's fine. Okay, so that's also an important point to know that you're not messing up yourself completely if you didn't get the chumrah out of your house. Now, the Mishnah Berurah has an additional heter here, which is basically what most people use to allow selling the chametz. And this is in the next line here. Okay. So it says, V'kasri ha'achronim. The achronim, right. De'im yeshlo chametz harbe. If he had a lot of chametz, V'i'af shalo lo'hoti yotzez of chametz. What are you going to do? So he says, ha'cheder. This is the solution that most people use. You sell the room as well. You don't just sell the chametz itself. You sell the entire room. And that's ki'ilu, it's outside your house, because now the room doesn't belong to you, it belongs to the goy. So if the chametz is found in the room, that's considered to be outside your house. This is brought down by the Bach and the Magen Avraham. Okay, as quoted by the Shaar HaTzion here, but if you look inside, they definitely allow this type of procedure. And then he says, we'll see in a minute, the kinyan of the cheder, how do you sell the room to the non-Jews? So it's got to be kesef with the shtar. Okay, this is based on the Mishnah and Kedushin, that in general, selling land or property or rooms comes about through kesef with a shtar, and sometimes maybe you only need one, but here with a goy, because there are questions about what, mechira is valid for a goy, so basically we do both. But that's a very, very important point as to how our mechira works. Again, it sounds like the logic is very, very, very good. According to the first reason also of Kenyan Mashiach, this also should be good enough. Okay, if you sell the whole room, you don't need a Kenyan Mashiach anymore. Kenyan Mashiach is only to get the chametz out of the possession of the guy who's selling it. But here, if you sell the whole room, then the Kenyan Mashiach also probably should not be necessary. Okay. Now, this is a question. Okay, even though we have heterim here, there are those, some people that don't want to sell real chametz. One of the reasons they'll give you for not selling real chametz is this point. They'll say, well, it really has got to be sent out of your house, and it's in your house, so know, we want to be machmer, we're not going to sell real chametz. Okay, that's legitimate. It's a legitimate chumrah. But it seems to be that, you know, most of the poskim do allow this, and this is considered to be a completely halachically valid type of mechira. Oh, we'll get there. Very good, very good. We'll get there. Excellent. Okay, good point. We'll get to that. Okay. When we get back to the kinyanim, we'll talk about that. Actually, no, that's not true. I have a bunch of points here that I want to talk about, so that'll be one of them. Next point. Okay, the other related question, which also causes problems today, and why also some people are, you know, a little worried about the sale, is the following. Okay, the very next line of the Mishnah Berura. After the brackets there. Okay, he's got more brackets here. He says, Tzarech limsor hamafteach micheresh munach b'achametz. Okay, where the Sharetz Yonach of Dalet is. He says, you have to give over the key for the room that the chametz is in. Kadesh yuchal liknos b'shash yirtel v'litol aschem so shenim karo nitamo. In order so that the goy can enter the room whenever he feels like, take his chametz that was sold to him. Okay, that's very, very interesting. Okay, does that make sense? Yeah, definitely makes sense. Okay, meaning, and this is quoted here by all the Achronim, basically mentioned this point of Mesiras HaMafteach. They say that you know, it seems to me the point is that you want to make a real mechira. So how can you make a real mechira when the goy can't have access to his chametz? Right, that's ridiculous.
They actually told me that I could do that.
Say again.
They tell me I could do that, but
do what? Did he tell you that you have to do that, or only that you
no,
could
no,
do
he
that?
Said that I had the ability to, but they would ask me kindly not to, and they would never provide me with the addresses of the homes that I own the chametz in.
Right.
Which is interesting, because you know, it was a real mechira. It was contract, legal contract,
right.
Everything.
Yeah.
But the thing is, yeah, like this, you can enter into the home, take chametz, but we're just asking you this.
Right.
Just for
so good.
Niceties fact that don't do it.
Right, so we'll get to that somewhere or other. I think I wrote it in here somewhere to mention that point. Actually, I don't see it here. Okay, so for some reason I didn't write it down exactly like that. Okay, so yeah, I mean, basically, usually what's done is basically what you're saying, that the goy should be allowed to go into the rooms. Okay, sometimes in some of the shtarmachiras they write that that it's that the goy can come in if he wants, but you know, maybe they don't they ask him if it's possible if he not, so it's safeguard the rest of their privacy or whatever. But some people say you shouldn't, meaning it's better not to do that, just to make sure that the mechira is a real mechira and that there's no question of looking like a harama.
Right.
So they don't write that. There's also another thing you have to write also in the shtar, which is that how is the goy going to get into, even if you would say that he can get into to get his chametz, it's in your closet. How's he going to get in there? How's he going to get to his closet? What does he have to do? He has to go through your front door, your house. Is he allowed to just walk into your house without asking? No, it's your property. So they basically have to write in the mechira, and all the shtari mechira rule write this, that basically you, the seller, have to give legal enter. There's a better word for this. I can't remember what it is, but basically legal rights to enter the house. Okay, in Hebrew we call drisus haregel. Okay, you have to give him, the rights to enter the house in order to allow him to get his chametz. Okay, that has to be in the mechira. That in theory you allow him to get to go walk into the house to get his chametz whenever he feels like. Okay, again, you can ask him to kindly not do that, but that's definitely allowed. Okay, and that has to be put in, into the mechira as well. There was one place, I forgot where, I think it was one shul in America, where they wanted to show that it was a real mechira. So again, he didn't have to do this, but just to make people on their toes and whatever, I think every year he had the goy go to somebody's house and knock on their door or something like that, and actually ask him to go in, and take a piece, a piece of candy or something like that. Okay, so people were, again, they didn't have to do it, but the point was it showed people that this was a real mechira, and the goy can really come in and he can take something and eat it. Yeah, something very small, obviously. But that's that was interesting. I thought that was very clever. Again, it's not always practical, but I thought it was very clever. And certainly for Balasim that may not understand the seriousness of this and how this is a real sale, that's a very, very cool, cute way to demonstrate to them that this is this is serious business here. Okay, so that's one way to do it. That really you have to give him the key. Okay, the problem is today we don't give the key. We'll get to that in a second. The next line of the Mishnah Berurah is also very important. He says, instead of that, he says, Osha al kol panim yomer lo Yisrael, or at least the Jew should tell the goy, B'chol eis shetirtze tuchal ligach hamavteach mechadercha. Okay, anytime that you want, you can come take the key from your room. Then go in and take your chametz. Okay? So, according to this, he says you don't actually have to give the goy the key, but at least you have to be able to tell the goy that you can come in whenever you want and take the key and go in. And the next line, again, very, very crucial here from the Achronim. Mm-hmm. Wait a second. Should I go on or should I wait for you?
Yeah,
should I go on? Sure?
Yeah.
Sure? Okay. He says, V'isr gomer hu lahaniach shum chosim a masker al acher. He says, it's an isr gomer to leave a seal or a masger, some sort of lock or, you know, clothing thing, on the room of the chametz, or on the chametz itself, so that the nachri can't take the chametz. That's absolutely not allowed. Okay? Because it's clear from this that the whole mechira was considered, it was a total harama. It's all a fake. Okay? If you say, I'm selling you the chametz, and then I don't give you the right to get to the chametz because I put a padlock on the door and don't let you in, so then he says that that's no good. Okay, that's absolutely not acceptable. According to the Mishnah Berurah, based on many achronim, if you did this, then the whole mechir is batal. Okay, and the chametz is treated as a chametz shavar lava pesach. Because the non-Jew's das is not, you know, complete if he knows that he can't get in. Okay, meaning the non-Jew expects that he should be able to get in, even if he doesn't care. But he assumes that if it belongs to him, he could get in. And then if he sees that he can't get in, he says, oh, this whole thing is, this is not a real mechira. Okay, that's obviously not mine. Obviously the sale was never, you know, is not normal, not real. So then the Mishnah Berurah passes that in that case, the mechira is invalid if you don't let him in, if he can't get in the door. Okay? Do you have a shir now?
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, that's what the Mishnah Berurah passes, that even b'di'evad, it's not valid. There are a couple shitas that hold that it is valid b'di'evad. If you look in the Shaar HaTzion in Siman Sivkot and Chav Zayin, so he quotes the note of Yehuda in Siman Yud Ches, who felt that the sale, the mechir was still valid. Okay, he says, well, you know, there was Gemir's das here. If you look at Shaar HaTzion, he says, who cares if the seller, you know, was being tricked, was being a trickster, and doesn't let the goy into the room? Since the kinyan was done with a kinyan gomer, okay, the Shaar HaTzion doesn't like this. He says the kona, the buyer, doesn't have smichas das, meaning that. The Nerd of Yehuda is trying to say, once the mechira was done and the kinyan was done, then b'di'evad we don't really care if he can't get in or not. Okay, once the sale is a sale, it's a sale. Sale is a sale is a sale. And the Shaar HaTzion says, well, no. He says, I don't think that's right, because the kona, the buyer, doesn't have smichas das. He says, this is not a real sale if I can't get into the room. Okay. So again, today, one could perhaps argue today that maybe the Shaar HaTzion's Hasaga on the Nevi Huda is not really so relevant. Because most goyim and b'chametz today couldn't care less whether they can get in or not. Okay, they just, yeah, get in, not gonna, you know, chametz is mine, I understand. I'm not planning on going into 300,000 people's houses or even 100 people's houses. It doesn't matter to me. So one could claim today that maybe it is some chadata today, as long as he understands that the sale is real and serious and it belongs to him, even if he can't get in. But again, l'maisa, most of the achronim hold like, what the Mishnah Berurah says, that b'di'evad the chametz is aser, and therefore you absolutely cannot seal the room to prevent access. Okay. Based on this, so the question again, as we mentioned before, is how, what happens today? Okay, today generally people are not so makbid on this point. Okay, most people when they sell their chametz do not necessarily give a key. They don't necessarily, you know, available. Let's say people that are going away for a couple days on Pesach. So how are they going to get in when the house is locked? Fine. You know, the door, the room to the with the chametz is open. Okay, maybe it's you know, there's a sign on it that says, you know, belongs to goy, whatever. But how is he going to get in the front door? Okay, he can't get in. And the apartment's locked. They're out, you know, on vacation, and who knows where? Okay, in Tveria or Florida or whatever. I don't know where you go on vacation from, in New Zealand or in Italy. Because people go to Italy for vacation.
Yeah.
But so what are you going to do? How is this supposed to work? So here, basically, so they talk about different ways, you know, to get around this. One possible way is indeed to leave a key. Okay, some Rabbanim actually require the Balabatim to leave a key or something with the Rabbanim over Pesach just in case, so that, you know, people can get, the goy can get in if he wants to. Another option is to, what we do today, and this many people do, simply write your phone number. Okay, if you write your phone number or method of contact or maybe email or whatever, today in the shtar, So then, as long as it's possible for the goy to contact the person, okay, he can email the person or call the person and say, guess what, I'm a little hungry, I really want to eat, you know, some of your leftover Cheerios, whatever, in your room, how do I get in? And then the guy has to find a way to let him in, okay? If he's around, he'll say, okay, fine, come back tonight when, you know, when I'm home, I'm around. Okay, you can come back tonight, we'll find a time that you can come in. Or he'll say, well, you know, there's a neighbor that has a key or somebody else or can break in the window or who knows what. You know, he can tell him what to do. But at least he has some way of contacting him, okay? If you have no way to contact the person, you know, again, maker din, it may not, it depends on who you hold like here, but that may be a problem. And that's why, you know, in general, in the Shtar HaShah, most Rabbanim are very makbid to write down number one, the address, which again we'll mention again later, but also the phone number or some sort of contact info, so that you can reach the person if you need to. Again, not everybody's makbid on this, but I think it's a good thing. Certainly in the Chutz Laretz, it's definitely a good thing to be makbid on, to write some sort of information how to reach the person, so that you know even if he's not there, you can get in. Okay, that would definitely be better. In the Piskei Tshuvos, so they also have two other options of things that sometimes people do. The first option they mention, in addition to what we said before, is that sometimes they write in the shtar that the buyer can receive the key whenever he requests. Okay, that's what we mentioned before from the Mishnah Berurah. But he says you put that in the shtar. Okay, you don't just say it to him; you actually put it in the shtar that if the goy wants to get the key, he should be able to get the key whenever he wants. So again, if the guy's away in you know Honolulu or in you know the Caribbean or in Turkey, I don't know, they go to Turkey in Italy or wherever they go. So maybe that wouldn't work if he doesn't have a key nearby, like in the place where he's you know where his chametz is. But in theory, in most cases, that would work. Okay, if he has to, maybe he could FedEx the key. Okay, I mean, as long as there's some possibility of the guy getting the key, that's good enough. And the other option they mentioned there, based on the Chuvas von Hagos or Sternbach, if you're familiar with the Sefer or Sternbach in the Chilik Beis and Chuvas von Hagos, so he writes some people write in the shtar. I haven't seen this so much, but some people write in the shtar that the key's not ma'akev. Meaning the two sides agree that even though he doesn't give him a key, that's not ma'akev, the sale. The sale's still valid, the goy's okay with it. And, you know, again, if the goy wants to come in, you know, he'll try to find a way in. But the fact that he doesn't have the key or does not have automatic access to the key is not ma'akev by agreement of both. Okay. I don't think there's an array Willig's document. You have to look again. Do you have it here? Did you print it out?
No.
Okay. So you have to look and see whether he put that. I don't think he put that in there. Yeah. But again, those are different ways that that today people are trying to get around this question of the of giving the key. All right, good. Questions? No, we're good. All right. Next. Okay, let's talk about a number of other points related to Mechiras Chametz and the question of you know other details, and other questions that come Mechiras Chametz. And then after this section, then we'll talk about some of the kinyanim very, very briefly. Okay. So this is basically just a random, you know, list of some of the other questions that come up about mechiras chametz that we need to know. Okay. So can you use somebody else to be a shliach to sell your chametz? So the answer is obviously yes. That's what everybody does today. Okay. Everybody goes to the rav and uses the person as a shliach. This is mentioned in the Mishnah Berurah in Siv Katan Yud Dalet. Okay. He says explicitly that that anybody can be a shliach. Or you can have a shliach to sell your chametz for you, to sell the chametz to the non-Jew. As long as a non-Jew himself may not be, it can't be a shliach, but certainly any Jew, including women, and there's a discussion about katanim also maybe can. Probably better not to give it to a katan, but basically, you know, what people do today is people go to the rabbi and the rabbi sells their chametz for them. Okay, so that's clearly permitted to have a shliach. Okay, what people do is basically they appoint the rabbi to be their agent. All right. What you need to do is make sure that is done with full understanding of what the person is doing, that the person who's selling his chametz understands that he is appointing the rabbi to be the agent to sell the chametz to whoever he wants, however he wants, etc., etc. And then you have to demonstrate that this is done with full gemiras das of the person. How is that done? So this is a question of what to do here. What's usually done, the general minhag here, okay, is quoted also in the Piskei Tshuvos. If you want to look at the Piskei Tshuvos, it's Siv Katan Tez Yud Zayin, based on the Stechemet and a lot of other you know, poskim, that basically say what's done is the guy comes to the rabbi, they talk for a minute, he explains to him exactly what's going on, okay, and then he shows him the Shtar HaShah, okay, that you know he writes down his name or whatever it is, and then the Kinyan Suter, okay, you do a Kinyan, okay, everybody knows about this, but they don't always understand what it means, okay, basically the Rav has a pen, he gives the pen or whatever, handkerchief, whatever it is, to the Balabais, okay, meaning the Balabais is picking up the Rav's, you know, object to demonstrate that he is giving the Rav permission to sell his chametz. Okay, it's not ma'akev. Okay, it's clear that for mina shlichus, That's not required. That's mentioned if you want to look in the Shulchan Aruch and Choshen Mishpat, Simon Kuf Pei Beis. Most posts can say that that's not required. You don't have to do a kinyan in order to do this, but it's simply done as a demonstration to show, you know, an added point that the, you know, the guy's not mafid. The Rambam actually in Hilchos Mechira in Perek Hey actually says that it's a good idea to do this to show the Minhag Shlichus. But again, it's not required. Okay, but the Minhag today is people try to do that. Okay, Meikar Hadin, it's not necessary, and therefore today, if you can't get to the Rabbi, you can't leave your house, you're away, whatever it is, and you can't do it. So then, basically, you know, Meikar Hadin, all you have to do is basically indicate to the Rabbi that you want to sell your chametz, and that's good enough. Okay, so again, if you sign a form, if you call on the phone today, they even have internet sites, you know, Chabad or whatever, you can sell your chametz. So you have to be careful about time zones, which we'll discuss in just a minute, but some of that, I guess, they take care of. Right, yes, that's right. They have people in every single time zone, so yeah. It's great. Really?
What do you use?
It's not bad. I mean, the actual star that they get, they show you the Dugma. Take a look at it.
Right.
Take a look at this.
I think I've seen it before, but not recently.
Right.
So good. So that's you know, again, today for certainly for people that are, you know, not so from or that want to sell their chametz, or other people that are out and, you know, without a rabbi, that's definitely a very, very good way of doing it.
Usually because, like, at one stage we were like traveling to America, so we didn't have like any kind of.
Okay, so we'll discuss that. We'll discuss that in a few minutes. We'll get to that. Again, normally, you know, the better thing to do is to go to your personal rabbi that's near where you are, and again, he can talk to you, explain to you exactly what's going on. Make sure you sign the form right there. Do the kinyan. You know, everything is much better that way, but it certainly is allowed, you know, to do it over in some other way, as long as you demonstrate that you want somebody to sell your chametz. Okay. What about a down payment? So this, again, just throwing out different points here. So the minhag today is to give a down payment instead of the goy paying money to give the whole thing. To buy the whole thing, he gives a down payment. This is mentioned in the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkat and Yitesk.
Mikach.
Say again?
The concept of Mikach, Pikadon, Mashon,
not Pikadon, it's a Kifas Malva, is the expression that's used.
Okay,
and Sifkat and Yitesk, it's right in the middle. It's very, very long. Okay. But yeah, he says for the end, you can pay for a little bit and then do the rest of it. Yizkofel of Malva. Meaning, you say the rest of it is a loan. Meaning that, and the Be'er Halacha also mentioned this in the Divrei Maaseh Davar Mu'ad that you mentioned before. Okay, basically what they say is that what you explain to the goy is that he's going to give you a down payment of however much money. Okay, which there's this question here. Did I write this? I don't think I wrote this down. But basically, there is a discussion in the Achronim. Maybe the best thing to do is to for the goy to give the rabbi enough money so that he has at least enough a value of a shava pruta for every person giving chametz. Okay, meaning if the goy is going to buy everybody's chametz, he at least should be buying it with enough money so that he's paying at least a shava pruta for the chametz of every single person that is selling the chametz. Okay, so that's, again, not everybody agrees with that. It may agree, then it's probably not necessary. Okay, but there are some poskim that mention that. The Piskei Tshuva has a piece on it. I forgot which piece, but mentions that. So, I'm sorry, here, yeah, it's in Piskei Tshuva's Chav Dalad. Basically, it's the Rav Yitzchak Elchanan, the Ber Yitzchak, the Shol Meishiv. A few others say that L'chadchila, that's the best thing, because otherwise, you know, you don't usually make a Mechir with less than a Shavu Pruta. So you say that, especially because the main Kenyan here is Kesef, so therefore that he says they say that maybe that you should do that. So that's why in Rabbi Wasserman's thing, if you saw, he says that take $150 and give it to the goy. Okay, meaning you're giving the goy the money for him to sufficiently buy the chametz. You have to give it to him as a matana gemura. Again, you look at the form there. He mentions this. Basically, again, it's a good way to do it. That you give him that money, and that money will be enough so that every person, you know, if there's 100 people, whatever it is, you know, every person will have enough of at least a shava pruta worth of value that's being bought, you know, from his chametz by the goy. But again, most of the achronim do not mention that, so that's probably not mikra adin. Okay, it's probably not necessary mikra adin, but it's a nice chumra that's not a bad idea to use for, you know, for the rabbi to do. Okay, so that's fine. And then again, he says that basically I'm giving you this now is that you're buying the chametz with a down payment, but after Pesach, basically again the loan that I'm giving you to use the chametz without paying for the rest of it after Pesach, you're going to need to pay up. Okay, if you want to keep the chametz right after Pesach, you need to give me, you know, the chametz is worth, again, he doesn't always give an exact value, we'll have to talk about that in a minute. You know, let's say the chametz is worth, you know, $3,000, you'll have to give me $3,000 to get, you know, to buy the chametz if you want. And if you don't want to do that, then the mechira goes back, we sell the chametz back to the people. Okay, they own it again. And usually the goy won't do that. Usually he won't pay the extra $3,000. Once in a while, you never know. Okay. Good. Next. Okay, we asked before about renting the room. Okay, We said that there's a question, are you allowed to sell a room in your house? Okay, so we say, normally the answer is yes. However, the halacha in Choshen Mishpat is that if you are renting your house, okay, if you're a socher, okay, so you can't sell your room, which you don't even own, to somebody else. So here also, according to that, it would seem to be that would be a problem. How can you sell your room to the goy? Even though we said before, yeah, sell your room so that you don't have to get the chamit out of the house, etc., etc. But how do you do that? So basically, the Mishnah Berurah and Sifkat and Yudtes towards the end, all right, and the Sharat Zion and Sifkat and Nunhei, basically say that the way to do it is you don't sell your room, you rent your room. Okay, rent it to the goy as an all-purpose rental. Okay, look there. He says, where is this? Like 5 lines from the end there. He says, no, I'm sorry, 7 lines from the end. Shachamis sham, Dima Bayis, Shachamis sham, about 7 lines from the end of Sivkas and Yud Tes in the Mishnah Berurah. Okay, I don't know how to find it exactly. Okay. Right before the Sharat Siyam Nunhei, right, like 1 line before that. Dima Bayis, Shachamis sham, Eno Shalo, Elash Eschur Biado, it's rented. The Lechir is not going to work. How can you sell something which doesn't belong to you? Rather, you rent out the room to the Nachri. The Yaskir, those Stam, you should rent it out Stam. So the non-Jew can use it to put his things there. Okay? Do not tell him explicitly that you were renting it to him so that he can put his chametz there. Okay, that's a big question. If you look at Siman Tuf Nun, there's a big discussion there whether that's okay. Right, big discussion whether that's okay. So basically you tell him that you're renting out the room for purposes of putting things there, and that also includes the fact that the chametz is there. So he's got both. Okay. Anyway, so that's the story with that. Second. So today, the Piskei Tshuva point out in Sifkat and Chavav that today the rule in many places is that even if you rent something, you can't rent out your own rental to somebody else. Okay, that's often the rule in most places. So the Piskei Tshuva quotes Achronim that say that even though that's true, still in this case that's okay. You know why? Because in this case, nobody actually plans on living in that room. You're not renting it out to live. All right. The point of not renting it out to somebody else if you're renting. Say again. Right. I mean, for storage is usually okay. That usually they're not makpid on, as long as nobody's living there. So therefore, here in this case also, that's usually okay. Okay. That's the story in terms of that. All right. Let's talk about a few other factors here. A few other points of mechiras chametz. Let's say, and this doesn't usually happen, but let's say that the goy doesn't want to return the chametz. All right. Let's say that he doesn't want to give back for some reason. So the halacha, the Mishnah Berurah mentions the Sifkat and Yud Gimel, and says you can't force him to. It's his, right? Okay. No. You have to force him to pay the money. The rest of the down payment has to be paid by him, which usually will be enough of a deterrent that he won't want to do it, because the down payment is probably a couple $1,000 for the amount of the value of the chametz. However, in theory, if he wanted to pay for the whole thing and get it, you're stuck. Okay? It's not, So those are the options. And usually, very, very rare that a goy would actually want to buy the rest of the chametz, because he doesn't really want to pay for the rest of it. It's not worth his while. But again, the halacha is technically that since it belongs to him, if he actually pays up for the rest of it, then he can keep it. Okay. Next point.
No, I didn't get this point. I'm sorry. If I made a contract where I tell him, you have to pay, now you give me $1, at the end of the Pesach, you have to give to 99.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't come up. It doesn't give me nothing. Okay, how can he cannot give me back the chametz?
Oh no. So in that case, if he doesn't give you anything, then it's probably not valid. Okay, in that case, we basically say that you're allowed to force
him.
You can, you can force him.
Pesach is gonna be over. Let's say at 7. I say if for 7:30 you are not here with $299. I return the chametz to the people.
Okay, so we'll get that. We'll get that later. Okay.
No, I don't understand how we can refuse the goy. Why there is an issue halachic? Why?
He can't. He can't refuse. Okay. The point is that if he wanted to follow through and actually buy the rest of it, then
if he comes to the dollars, let's say.
If he wants to pay a couple, the money that's required.
Okay. So I don't get it. What can I do?
Well, nothing. In that case, if he really wants, but it doesn't happen. Okay. Which goy wants to buy your leftover, cookies and candies?
Okay. But if it happens, the Mishnah Berurah says something.
If it happens, then it's his. He paid for it. It's his.
Okay.
Okay. The mechira is valid. If it's a real mechira.
Yeah.
It. Again, if you want to send him threats that he
if
your janitor, he'll lose his job or whatever. Okay, you can do whatever you want, but
there is a The Mishnah Berurah pointed somewhere.
He says that it's valid.
Where?
They can't do that. Sifkas on Yigilim. That's what I was saying before. Even Manachri in a Rutz Lachzer, though, also the Boaz of Binam. You can't force him to. Oh, the Kovas of Shark Fias. You can't force him. You can't force him to give it back.
Okay.
The only thing is, he says, if you only give part of the money, if it was a down payment, so then already you can go to court or you can do whatever you need to get the money back. Okay, because that's obviously. Or you could say what you said, that the Mechira is not. I mean, that you have to put into the contract at the beginning, but if you wrote that the Mechira is not valid, if he doesn't come by after a certain time and give you the money, then the Mechira is not valid. That's also good. Okay. There's also a discussion whether you need to have edim on the shtar mechira. Okay, the Piskei Chuos discusses this in Sukkot and Yigimel. There's a machlokas achron about this. Do you have to have witnesses that see the selling? Okay. Again, the shtar may not be a shtar. There's two kinds of shtar. So if it's a shtar kinyan, meaning a shtar which actually affects a sale, then you probably do need edim to point that out. If the shtar is just like as we call a raya, okay, the shtar is simply to be, you know, support to show that there was a sale, but the star itself doesn't make the sale, so that already wouldn't be required. So Lamai says some postgame are machmir that it's better to have witnesses that watch the sale and actually sign the document. Mikra did, I think many postgame say that that's not really necessary. Okay, so if you have people there to watch it, you know, that's great. But is it required to actually get Jewish witnesses that are from, you know, kosher witnesses to watch the mechira? Probably not. Okay, or at least according to many postgame, it's not probably not required. Okay. That should be mentioned. What is probably required, though, again, some people disagree with this as well, but it is probably important to sign for the seller and the buyer to sign the document. Okay? This is mentioned. The Mishnah Berurah says you put your name on it, but the Piskei Tshuvos in Sifkatan Lamed says that many people, you know, say that you should really, based on secular law and, you know, also halacha, it's best to sign your name on it also to show that you're serious, okay, that you're really selling it. And then the buyer puts his name on that he's buying it, the seller signs his name that he's selling it, etc., etc. I guess that's not a bad idea to do that. Okay.
Like a real star.
Exactly. That's the point. Okay. Next. All right, again, I'm just randomly taking different points here. Let's say that you put your chametz into the room, into a side room. You know, you sealed off and it belongs to the goy. Okay, very nice. Over Pesach, you suddenly remembered that your daughter's Yom Tov dress is in the closet in that room. You forgot to take it out. Oh no, you got to get it out now. What do you do? But the room doesn't belong to you. It's the goy's room. You can't go in. Now what do you do? Right? You have a question? Oh, so basically the answer is that the minug is that in most shtarei mechira, what they do, I mentioned this before, this is the concept of drisa regel. Okay, in most shtarei mechira, what you do is you add in a line that says that the goy gives you permission, if you need to go into the room to get anything, the goy gives you permission to walk into his room to get something which belongs to you. Okay, that's the same way that you give him permission to walk into your house if need be to get the chametz. So too, he gives you permission as well. That's mentioned according to the note of Yehuda and also quoted in the Piskei Chuos and Sukkot and Yedalad. Okay, and that's again usually done. Okay, most shtar mechira, that's you'll see that they put that in that. All right. Does the sale have to be valid according to secular law? Okay, does it have to be dina de machlus adina? So the answer is many achronim say that really it should be. Okay, that ideally it should be valid according to secular law also because dina de machlus adina. And if, you know, the secular law says, well, this is not a valid sale, then maybe halachically it's also not valid. Okay. The problem is that according to secular law, in order to really sell a room or sell a house or whatever, you probably need an attorney. You need notarized, you need to do taxes, you have to go to the land authority, who knows what. Okay, and that's not done here. So is the mechira valid or not? So the answer is, what most of the achronim say is that, even though it's nice to try to make it valid legally, this is what Rav Willig does with his shtar, Rav Willig has his whole thing with the contract, which is totally legally valid, with an attorney, because, you know, the whole thing. But the most achronim quote the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer is in Or HaChaim, Tshuva number Kuf Yud Gimel, okay, a very important tshuva. So he basically develops the argument that that does not have to be legally binding. Okay, and even though, yes, it's true that we want it to be a mechira, but it doesn't actually have to be valid according to the rules of the government, okay, of secular law, because if the wholesale is being done for religious reasons anyway, so maybe the government's not makbid. Okay, and mechira sochetz kilcha, so he points this out.
And Chatam Sofer said that?
Chatam Sofer, yeah, he points that out here as well. Okay.
But anyway, a course according to, I don't know,
in
Europe, almost in all the countries.
Yeah.
According to the law, you can have a private contract that then you can
Okay, good.
You can apply to the civil law, changes something. Or
okay,
whatever.
Good. So if that's true, the case, that should be true for here as well, and that should be fine.
I mean,
okay.
Call it vote.
Yeah. I hear. So that would be helpful here as well. I mean, if you have that, then you should be fine. But even if you would say that for whatever reason you can't sell land, again, you got to check with the land sales, not a regular sale, just the sale of land or property. So if it would be that you can't sell according to secular law without a certain number of conditions which you don't get, so he says that that maybe that's still fine, because it's not really it's a religious sale. It's not a legal sale. And therefore, since as long as the religion aspect is there, the secular aspect is not that important. Okay. They also point out here that maybe sometimes, as you pointed out, the secular government or the law doesn't care. Okay, if it's a religious sale, they'll say, we don't care what you do. Okay, and this is also mentioned, by the way, in the Chazon Ish, he points it out here in the Sefer, in Choshen Mishpat, Likutim Siman Tez Zayin, and a few other Achronim also, that if the secular law is not makbid on doing this kind of thing according to religious law, then everybody agrees that it's fine. Okay, it's chal according to the Torah. All right? So that's, again, Halacha L'maisa, it doesn't make so much of a difference, but you need to know. Okay, and it's important to be aware of that. All right? Now, what about buying chametz back after Pesach? So, if you look at the Be'er Halacha, so the Be'er Halacha on Divrei Maskil Mechira Gemura. Okay, so he says, he quotes here the Big Day Yesha, okay, which is one of the commentaries on the Tosefta, I think. Maybe it's the Mordechai? It's on the Mordechai, actually. Sorry. So he says, the Kevash of Mechira Sachamit La'akum Tzarechleis Mechira Gemura B'li Harama, so it's got to be a real Mechira without any Harama. Nira Da'achara Pesach Kishiach Saranachri Achamit L'Yisrael. Okay, after Pesach, when the Nachri gives back the chametz to the Jew, he's got to be koned again. Not just to get it back stam. Okay, really, he's got to be koned again with the same kinyonim. So when the Rav comes after Pesach to meet the Goy to buy it back, he's got to make all the same kinyonim to buy the chametz back according to this. Okay, the same idea. He says that after Pesach, Nira. He says maybe you don't have to do every single kinyan. Maybe just kesef is good enough. Okay, meaning that you will now pay the goy the money to buy it back. Okay, you don't have to do seven other kinyanim. The nachri will give back to the rav the shtar mechira. Okay, he'll give him back the contract that he has that says that he owns it. Okay, the title document, title deed. Okay, and now after that, that's good enough. Okay. Even normally a Jew cannot be kona real estate from a non-Jew with kesef alone without a shtar, that's only because, you know, in that case maybe the Jew is not the samacha data, he doesn't have smichas das. Here, when the goy gives him back the shtar, so the Jew is totally, he's total gemiras das with what he does. So it's fine. Okay, so that's what the Be'er Halacha says. That usually the custom is that they go back and make the sale, do the sale again in reverse after Pesach. Now there are those that say, and this is done by the way a lot of times here in Eretz Yisrael. I don't know about how much in Chutz La'aretz, but in Eretz Yisrael, many places I think. Tell me what they did by you. They basically say that the sale is al tanai. Okay, meaning the following: not that the snail is al tanai, but basically that if the goy does not come back, you know, to the rabbi to buy the food and give him the rest of the money for the down payment after the down payment, within, you know, an hour after Pesach or whatever it is, okay, or if it's half an hour after Pesach, automatically the sale does not continue to be valid, and after that point the food goes back to the Jews immediately. Okay, that's what, you know, they many places what they do. They write in the Shtar Mechira that that's how they get out of this. So then again, that basically avoids the problem of the Rav and the Goy having to meet again, and avoids the problem which we'll discuss in the next the next point. What happens if the Goy doesn't show up? Then you're stuck. Okay, so to avoid that, okay, you deal with the Goy once, and that's it. He comes there at Pesach, he gets his little money, does whatever he does, and that's it. He doesn't have to do anything else. Do you remember what you did when you were there?
Yeah, I ran like hell because I thought I was late for the meeting.
Oh, I mean, you did go back.
I went to my Rav's house, and I didn't realize my Rav was keeping Rav in the common. I was like, his house, and like, and the Al-Basin doesn't keep Rav in the common. And like, my Rav said to me, like, don't you have to be, everyone's comments back. And I'm like, so I ran out of the house right down the stairs, but I've never run that fast.
Oh my gosh.
The art basin was waiting by his car. He's like, don't worry about it. He's like, there was a tanai, and I think we still need to go to the meeting, and we're going to.
I mean, there was a tanai that if you didn't come back, then good. So we'll mention that in just a minute. Very good. All right. Okay. So we'll.
No, I don't get this. If I put it tonight that if he doesn't come back,
right.
the contract is not valid, he has not come.
Well, it's better to do it that if it, he doesn't come back, then the chametz automatically goes back, you know, go without, yeah. Yeah, goes back to the Jews.
So he doesn't, the goy doesn't need to come back.
No.
So again, l'chachila, because their halacha says the minhag is that the goy should come back to do.
To give back
again,
the
to give it back and to give back the shtar and the kinyan, and that's, you know,
yeah, but technically it's much more better that he doesn't come.
I don't know if it's better that he doesn't come, but it's better to make sure that he doesn't have to come. Okay, that's, you know, just in case either something goes wrong or that you don't have to worry
it's like
about it. You know,
safety valve. Yeah. Just in case the main road breaks,
yeah.
Then at least you know,
go off and. Yeah. Okay. Again, not every shtar writes that in the shtar, but again, it's a good idea to write that in the shtar that, you know, if he doesn't come back or whatever, that that the mechir go, the money go, the stuff goes back. Some of the achronim discussed the question of what happens if he's supposed to come back, he doesn't show up. Okay, what do you do then? So here they discuss a whole other complicated thing, which we try not to use today. But in the Rav Shlomo Kluger and the Eshel Avram, this is in the Piskei Tshuva letter number Kafkas, okay, 28. So they mentioned that they say that you can go to the Beis Din. The Beis Din can then give a special reshus to the people to use their chametz. Okay, and then afterwards, if the goy wants to buy the chametz for real, then he's got they'll pay him for what they ate. But again, normally that's fine because again, it's assumed that the goy is not going to want to do that. He's not going to want to give it back. But again, today the better thing to do is put in the shtar that you know, this extra point that if he doesn't come back, then, you know, we say that that means everybody can eat their chametz, and, you know, that means the sale reverts back to the original owners because it automatically shows that he doesn't want to buy the rest of it. Okay, so that's the story in terms of that. All right, let's go to some of the kinyanim. How much time do we have? 20 minutes. Okay. Let's go to some of the kinyanim quickly, and then we'll go to some of the other practical shilohs that come up more in contemporary times. Okay, and then we'll do some more questions. So what are the kinyanim that are actually used? All right, so again, we know there's a whole bunch of them. And the reason why is because there's a big confusion in the poskim about which kinyanim are valid to create or complete a mechir with a goy. Okay, basically most Rishonim and Achronim agree there are some kinyanim that don't work with a goy to affect a sale, but they all disagree about which ones. So essentially what we do is we do all of them to make sure that the mechir is valid absolutely according to, you know, everybody, and everybody has what to rely on. So again, the Mishnah Berurah mentions this in Sifkat and Tez Zayin. He goes through the different things, and I'll just mention them here quickly. he also mentions a little bit in Sifkat and Yud Tez. I'm sorry, not Tez Zayin, Yud Zayin, he mentions it. Okay, 17. Money. Okay, money is, according to many posts, is the main one. Okay, Kesef. He's got to be paying Kesef. And that's why Ari Wasserman's thing, he says ideally the Rav should prepare, you know, a couple silver dollars for the goy. Again, in other countries, I don't know how that's not so simple to do that because we don't really have silver dollars, and especially in this country or whatever. But, you know, certainly to have money.
Euro.
Say again?
You can use euros.
Yeah, so again, that's not clear you can use euros in Israel, but if you're in Europe, you could use euros. So again, you know, that he believes many, so would say you actually have to use real kesef, real silver. That's, you know, the best thing to do. But again, money as kesef could be, you know, really probably could be anything. That's based on Rashi and Avodah Zarah. Okay, this sugya comes up in Avodah Zarah, Dav Ayin Aleph.
So the first kinyan that we can go for is money.
Yeah,
money.
Yeah, money. Okay, meaning the goy gives the rav money. Now again, if it's just a very small amount, then you can ask the goy to give it himself. Just tell the goy to come with, you know, $5, whatever it is. Give him $5, he'll get it back after Pesach. It'll be fine, no problem, or whatever it is. If you want to be makbid on the chumrah that we mentioned before of that you have to buy it enough money that every person had to shove a pruta worth.
Rashi permitted it?
Rashi says kesef is proper. Yeah, Rashi and Avodah Zarah of Ayin Aleph. That's okay. The sugya which talks about mechir for goyim.
Mm-hmm.
So according to that, then maybe you can what's it called? You can if you want to have him, you know, buy with at least a shavu pruta worth for everybody. So then that's what Rabbi Wasserman was saying in his guide, that you come and you bring money for the goy. Okay, you bring $100 and say, here, I'm giving this to you as an absolute matana. The money's yours now, it belongs to you. And then afterwards you'll ask the goy, okay, give me, you know, $100 or part of the money in order to buy the chametz. And then maybe part of the money to buy or to rent out the room,
so
whatever it is.
Giving first as matana and then he pays with the same money. I don't get it. Sorry, Rob. I get confused.
Okay, let's review it again.
Yeah.
Okay, if you're just letting him buy the chametz with a very small amount of money, $5, and you don't do anything, just have him tell him to bring $5 with him or five whatever it is, shekelim, hundred, you know, 10 shekel, whatever, right, to the sale, and then you ask him to give you that money, and that's the money that he buys the chametz with, and you tell him after Pesach he can get the money back.
Okay.
Okay. Or if it's, you know, less money, that's fine.
Okay.
According to those that we said that are machmir to make sure that the
one pruta.
Yeah, that the amount of money used to buy the chametz is at least a pruta worth for every person that is selling their chametz, so then already it might be a little bit more than that. If you have 100 people, you may need to have a little bit more money. So in that case, that's what, you know, Rav Wasserman was suggesting, maybe to give the goy enough money so that he doesn't have to put out $100, whatever it is. You give him the money as a complete matana, and then he gives the money back to you as part of the sale. Okay, meaning the money's his. Now that you give it to him as a matzana, the money is his. And then, as part of the sale, he will give you that money to buy the chametz. Okay? That would be the way that it would work in that situation. Okay? That's all based on Rashi. Rabbeinu Tam there disagrees. Rabbeinu Tam, in that same sugya of Avodah Zarah, Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph, he says that really you need to do Meshicha or Hagba. Okay? You got to pick it up and pull it out of your property, or do Hagba. Pick it up. All right, that's what Rabbeinu Tam says. He doesn't agree with Kesef. All right. So that's what he would say is the valid method of doing
it. So Rabbeinu Tam, the Meshicha.
Meshicha or Hagba. Right? Pick it up or pull it out. Now, again, today that's going to be hard because there's so much chametz. Today we basically say that if that one's too difficult to use, then you use the other kinyanim. Okay? But again, that's definitely an important one. That's a theory on the books. Okay, the other kinyanim that are mentioned here. So Rabbeinu Yeruchim and some of the other achronim mention kinyan agav, okay, which is basically that you sell him or rent him, okay, the land, the property, okay, the room or the building or the house or whatever it is, and then basically you say that together with renting him, you know, with that, he's also getting ownership of the chametz. Okay, they go together, kinyan agav. Okay, it's basically real estate plus metal.
Agav with aleph, sorry?
With an aleph, yeah. It basically goes together. Okay, and this is all mentioned in the Shabrin Sifkat and Yud Zayin. You could look there. He mentions this whole thing here. Where is it here? Yeah. Okay. Kinnis metalplan agav karka. That's his thing. Then we talk about a kin and chutzer. Okay, maybe you should be kona in some form the chutzer. Okay, meaning the place where the chametz is. Forget the agav and just the chutzer itself. Okay, you're kona the chutzer. And then again, that we said before is important because you need to. You ideally, in some cases, you want the owner. You want the goy to own the place where the chametz is being kept. So if it's rented, if the guy is renting it, so then you know he can rent it out. What was the other thing we said? We said that that you give him the chatzar so that it basically or the room so that it's considered to be outside of the Jew's house. We said you got to send the chatzar outside of the house. So one of the ways of doing that is to give him the whole room. So that's a kinyan chatzar. Kinyan chalipin is also mentioned. Okay, this is mentioned in Tosfos and Avodah Zarah, in the Shulchan Aruch Chosha Mishpat in Kuf Chav Gimel. They mention this. Okay, basically what you would do here is again make sure that the goy has a suitor, which again is either a pen or a handkerchief or anything small. In Rabbi Wasserman's guide, he says bring one along and give it to the goy together with the money as a matana gemura. So then he has something already. Mm-hmm. Or you can ask him to bring something, okay, or make sure he has a pen, whatever it is. And then basically what you do is you make sure that the suitor belongs to the goy. And then after the goy can give the rav the suitor, the rav picks up the kinyan suitor and says, by my picking up this kinyan suitor that belongs to you, I am now transferring to you the ownership of all the chametz. Okay, that's kinyan suitor, or chalipin, or whatever. That's also mentioned by a number of the poskim. Okay, so that's also done. Kinyan situmta minaga sochrim. Okay, basically what's done in any place, you could do whatever is done in that place as the standard method of, you know, creating a sale. Okay, so the Mishnah Berurah mentions also in Sifkat and Yutess, and this is what many people do today. Sorry, as a handshake. It's kias kaf. All right, that a handshake cements the sale. All right, so that's also according to Kinyan Sintum, so that probably is fun, that probably is good as well. Okay, to do, you know, what people do to say, show that they shake on a deal. All right, so here also we're shaking on it to show that the deal has been affected. Okay. Again, in terms of a shtar, so we said that some people say the shtar is required as part of the sale. To actually, the shtar creates the sale according to some, but others people say that no, the shtar is really shtar doesn't create the sale. Shtar is a shtar raya. Shtar is simply proof of the sale. Okay. And again, like we said before, is a question. What to do? The Piskechios talks about this in Sifkat and Lamed. Again, in this case, we generally, you know, we often would say that maybe it's not the actual shtar that affects the sale, but that you wrote on the shtar that we are selling it. Okay, that we're writing that there is a sale. And again, we said you should put your name on it. Okay, we said ideally it's best for them to sign it, and according to some postcom, you should have witnesses as well. Okay, that's the story with the shtar. Those are basically most of the methods of kinyanim here that are done. Let's talk about some of the shilas that come up. All right. All right. Those that say that that you shouldn't sell chametz gamur. Okay, there is a minhag out there that some people have. And the Piskei Chuas talks about this in Sifkat and Yud, and it's mentioned in a few other places as well. He mentions it here, and some people are very, very strongly in support of this, not selling chametz gamur. Others say, no, minhag Yisrael, sell chametz, it's fine. Okay, you'd be machmer if you want, but no, you can't convince people, you can't, like, you know, So it depends which rav you go to. Some rabbanim, you know, are pretty insistent about telling their congregants not to sell chametz gomer, and others, you know, it's fine, completely fine. Again, if you ask my opinion, personally, I think in the poskim it seems very clear that they all sold chametz gomer. Yes, it's true that at one point it was done because it was shas v'chak. Yes, it's true that in Europe, you know, many of the cases of the shari tshuva stuff is because of whiskey or whatever it is, but now it's like a whole business, that's a major hefset. But if you look at the achronim, most of them seem to say that the chiyuv is completely valid. They discuss, you know, is this, that, whatever, but basically they say it's valid. Most of them don't really say that you can't sell chametz gomer. So therefore, in my mind, and this is what Rabbi Willig holds as well, is that Minog Yisrael is to do a mechiras chametz, and chametz gomer is perfectly fine. Okay. However, that it's better not to. Okay. Some of the reasons why are we mentioned before. Okay. The Piskei Tshuva discusses this, but basically all the points we had before. Well, the chametz is supposed to be outside of the Jew's house. Okay, it's not outside his house. Well, we said that he's supposed to live in the key, and you don't always live in the key. You know, all these chashashos that basically, you know, create questions about the sale, or maybe the whole thing is a harama, okay, maybe the whole thing is a fake, it's not real, it doesn't look real. So all those things are reasons why some people are machmir, that you shouldn't sell chametz gomer, because they're concerned about all these problems. There's an additional reason also that they say in the name of Soloveitchik, that he quotes here in this article in the RJJ Journal about mechiras chametz. He has an additional point here where he says the following. He says that maybe there was a combination chumra, as follows. Okay. He says... Here, he suggests that maybe it's based on the following. There's an opinion of the Tzvuo Shor. You heard of the Tzvuo Shor? Okay. Tzvuo Shor was one of the Achronim, and he wrote a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch Yoredei and Hilchos Shechita. Okay, very, very important. Sefer Shochtim, okay, like real Shochtim. Halacha Maaseh, Tzvuo Shor is a very, very important parish.
What's his name?
Tzvuo Shor, oh gosh, he wrote other Sfarim also. We know his name, and I forgot which
Sheik,
one he is.
No, what's Sheik, no.
What'd you say?
Sheik, Rabbi Sheik.
No, I don't think it was Rabbi Sheik. I don't think so. Tzvuo Shor was blanking. He was well known. Okay, we know who he, you know who he is.
Yeah, but,
and he wrote other Sfarim also that people know better, and I unfortunately just happen to forget right now who it was. Okay. It's one of the Achronish of Sfarim. Maybe he wrote the Sefer HaFlaw. Was it the Baal HaFlaw? I don't remember exactly. I don't remember. You have to look at the Sefer to see. I'm sorry, I forgot. I apologize. Okay. So anyway, so he has this thing basically in his commentary with Seches Pesachim called Bechor Shor. So he writes that basically it's he says it's usher for a goy to feed animals belonging to a Jew chametz over Pesach, because he says that in terms of mechiras chametz, he basically says that everybody does bitul chametz anyway. Okay, if everybody nullifies their chametz, so there's no iser doraisa. Okay, bitul chametz basically means that all the chametz is totally nullified anyway. Okay, therefore he says that in terms of the sale, he says since the chametz is bitul anyway, that's why you can rely on a deceptive sale where everybody knows that the sale is only for 8 days. He says that's okay in order to get around the iser drabanan, meaning the only iser is drabanan because midoraisa the chametz is bitul. Therefore, he says you can use a mechira, which is a harama, because of the fact that the mechira is only, you know, only getting on an iser drabanan. However, to feed your animals chametz on Pesach, that's a direct form of hana, and therefore that's considered to be an iser deraisa. Okay, so therefore, basically, what he says is that he allows a regular mechiras chametz because there's bitul beforehand. Okay, or there's bitul. Okay. So now, most achronim disagree with the Tzvuo Shor. Most achronim disagree, and they say that anything that you sell is not included in the bitul chametz. Okay, well, that was from mevatel is anything that's in your house that you didn't sell, you didn't find, you didn't burn, etc., etc. Okay, those are the things that you're mevatel. But anything which you intend to sell, how could you mevatel something and have it be chal, something which you intend to sell? You're selling those things. Now, obviously, you want to sell it to the goy. You're not intending to mevatel it. So most achronim disagree with the Tzvuo Shor. Okay. So basically, what Soloveitchik and maybe some others did is what they tried to do is combine the Tzvuo Shor with the other Achronim. Meaning, according to the Tzvuo Shor, he holds that if there's an Isra Doraisa, that the Mechiras Chametz cannot overcome an Isra Doraisa. Okay, meaning, if there's an Isra Doraisa of Hana for Chametz Pesach, selling the Chametz is not going to, with a Mechira, which is a Harama, is not going to get rid of that Isra Doraisa. And therefore, okay, according to the Tzvuo Shor, basically that would be awesome. Just that he says that the mechir is only drabanan because of the bittel. But according to most achron, the bittel doesn't work here. So you're left with the nisr d'oraisa. Okay, you have your chametz. It's a nisr d'oraisa, v'al yirah, v'al yimatzeh. So then if you combine the chumrah, the tefillah, sure, with the accepted opinion of the other poskim, but you end up basically, what you would end up saying is that it's usher to use the mechira of a harama to overcome an isra d'oraisa of bal yiran on Pesach. So basically, according to that, that seems to be the approach that maybe because of chumrah the chametz, I think this was Soloveitchik and maybe some others, you know, wanted to say that maybe because you combine these two things together, so therefore we'd be machmir not to sell actual chametz. Again, it's a chumrah. Okay, we don't really pass on to for sure. But you know, again, mikra didn't, the mechira is valid. I don't think. Personally, I'm not in favor of, you know, trying to convince people not to sell their chametz gomer. If they want to, it's fine. It's not a bad chumrah, but you know, it's hard for people. I don't think that it's necessary. Mikra, I personally, I'm following Rabbi Willig here, but you know, if you look at the makoros, there really is not very much that that supports this concept that that really it's better to sell real chametz to not sell real chametz. And again, we saw that there were plenty of answers for some of the questions I had about the mechira of getting stuff out of your house. You know, definitely were responses which seemed to be quite valid. So so that's the story in terms of chametz gomer. But again, there is a very common minhag that people don't sell chametz gomer. And again, it's fine. You don't have to tell people that they can if they're not. You know. But, okay, that's the story in terms of that. Okay, next section. Other practical shailas that come up in mechiras chametz in contemporary times. Okay. Hold on a second. Where can I find my right page here? Okay, so that, we're not talking about that now. We're talking about Mechira, but I mean, Erev Pesach, when? At one point.
I'm just curious because they mentioned it, like, about the Isra the Chalav. I've never heard of this before. I'm wondering whether you're familiar with it. Like an Isra of the Chalav after, let's say it's Erev Pesach, and then the cows are eating chametz, and then some way the chametz magically disappears, they've eaten it full. Then some issue with the Chalav? I wasn't.
You're saying that if the animals that eat chametz.
I don't want to get too caught up in the thing, but I'm just wondering whether you've heard of this.
I mean, there is a question that if the animals are eating Aaron chametz diet and then they give milk or whatever. On Pesach, that maybe there's a question that, you know, based on the Isra Hanah, that because they ate chametz and whatever, so that anything which comes out of the animal afterwards should have the status of chametz. That's the biscuit shuvas. I think has a piece on it there. I think it's mikra din. It's not clear that that would be necessarily right. Yeah, mikra din. It's not clear that would actually be a real Isra, but there are definitely those that are. Machmir. Now again, the problem is that to feed them chametz on Erev Pesach after the sixth hour is also problematic. Okay, around Pesach also is very problematic. But again, I guess in places where they're not so machmir, kibbutzim or whatever, that are not so frum, or another, you know, outside of Israel. So you're gonna have a question about that. So again, there are people in Israel. You'll see on the milk sometimes they write on the milk kosher le Pesach Erev Pesach. Okay. So on Pesach, you know, why they're Erev Pesach? So again, there's some of these ideas. You know, before Pesach, there's bittul. Before Pesach, they're not using. There's no diet questions on Pesach itself, and they have to, you know, find ways to make sure that the Pesach, that the chametz is, that the milk is kosher. You know, because there's no bittul, and maybe some of these questions of getting the chametz diet, make sure that they didn't have a chametz diet. Again, is that really a real Isra Hanav once, you know, the milk that comes from the animal, which, you know, is that not so clear that's really Isra Hanav, but that's, you know, I think he has a piece there. I have to find it. I think it is a chumrah, which definitely some people have. Okay, more of course I have to look up again. Exactly. Okay. Right, I don't think so. Okay, so a couple other contemporary questions. All right, do you have to write a list of the chametz you own, the value, the addresses, etc., etc.? So the Be'er Halacha and Divrei Maskil B'Davar Mu'at. Okay, so he basically writes the Minhag Yisrael is, it's a really, really long Be'er Halacha here. Okay, basically he says, again, he has a whole thing here about the value of the chametz and a bunch of other things. Okay, how much to pay for it? Somewhere in this really long Be'er Halacha, basically he says that the best thing to do is ideally you really should specify what kind of chametz you have. Okay, this is not b'di'evad, is not ma'akev at all, but maybe it's a good idea to basically write, I have you know chametz gomer, okay, cakes and cookies, whatever. I have you know cosmetics or medication that might be chametz, whatever it is. You should write what kind of chametz you have. That's a good idea according to him. There are Many poskim that say lechatchila today that you don't have to do that. Many of the shtar mechira here in Eretz Yisrael, they don't write every single. You don't have space to write everything. It's, you know, too many people. They don't do that. Okay, so it depends on. It's not a bad idea to write, or at least ask, you know, the rav to ask the guy, you know, what kind of chametz do you have? Write down a little bit of something of what he has. And some people are makbid, some people are not. The Be'er Halacha says it's a good idea, not required, but a good idea. So that's different minhagim today. What to do about that? There is a minhag also in many places. This is mentioned by Rav Sternbach and the Pisket Shuvas and Sifkatim Chavtes. That you should write the places in the house that you have your chametz. Again, not everybody does this, and it's the mechir is still valid if you don't do it. But it's not a bad idea to write down on your star mechir, leave a little place to write where is your chametz. Okay, so the goy knows where it is. If he wants to get it, he can get it. All right, that's not a bad idea. So you write it's in your closet downstairs, it's in your cabinet, it's in your, you know, your storage room, whatever it is. You should write down the places that you have. In terms of your address and your name, that probably is Me'akeh B'di'evet. And this sort of Moshe is a Chubad, and Orachayim, Chilak Aleph, Simon Kuf Nun, and other poskim as well. Again, this is all in Piskei Chubas, and Sifkat and Chavtes, in 29. But your address where you live and your name has to be. Otherwise, it's not Ashtar Hashah. There's no, you know. Again, if the guy didn't go to the Rav himself, the Rav still should write down on the list that this guy is included. Okay, we said Me'akeh, then he doesn't have to actually go, but the Rav should put it on the list of the people that the Goy is getting the chametz from, that this is the guy's name and this is where he lives. Okay, this is his address. So that's actually important. That you definitely have to be mocked on. Okay, so that's an important point. Okay. Next point. What about somebody who forgot to go to the rabbi? Okay, this is very interesting. Okay, if you forgot to go to the Rav, oh my gosh, he sold his chametz an hour ago. I didn't go yet. Now what? So here there are a number of chilukim, all right? If you didn't go and it's already after the sixth hour, okay, very, very difficult to be makel. Okay, the Noda Behuda and the Chasam Sofer and a number of other Acharonim basically say that's it. Okay, for any chametz that you have, which is real chametz be'in, okay, it's chametz over lava pesach, and that's it. Okay, they say, some people say maybe you can give it to a goy at that point as a matana or rent out the space with it. You could do something, an emergency procedure, if you have access to a goy yourself. This is all in Piskei Tshuva, Siv, Kazan, Lamed Aleph. They say maybe you could do that. But that's already a big shaila. Okay, what the story is in that case. And again, it could be that it's better that you should, according to the Achorim, you should be machmer there, that you can't use that chametz after Pesach. Again, if it's a hefset or whatever, if you can get a goy at that moment, basically to give him as a present, you know, while still before Pesach, it's after the sixth hour, or to rent out the space, it could be that maybe you could be makel about that, but again, it's a big question. If you came before that point, okay, let's say that you realize at 11:30, Mechiras, you know, Zman Chametz is 11:40 or whatever. You realize that 11 o'clock, and your Rav does his Mechira right around 11 o'clock, but you can't get him in time. Now what do you do? He's frantic, you can't reach him. What do you do now? So that already Rabbi Wasserman and his guide, and this is what most Rabbanim do, they add in an extra thing in the Shtar that basically says that you know, anybody else who may come also wants to sell their Chametz should also be included in this Mechira. Okay, meaning add in this power of attorney that you know, that basically there are any additional people who forgot
something
who come
like
late or whatever. Say again?
Something like an arrow.
Something like that. Okay, that they, yeah, something like that. Yeah, very, very similar to that. You put that in the shtar as well and explain to the goy, there will be some people that will forget and will come later. They
but
are also included in the mechira.
At the time, I mean, we have two time. Time that Isur Achila, Isur Ana.
We're talking about Isur Hana here.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Isra Ana.
Isra Achila means you can't eat it, but you can still own the chametz. We're talking about after the, you know, before.
It's later.
The Isra Ana time is later, yeah. That's the sixth hour, or the beginning of the sixth hour, which is, again, here in Eretz Yisrael. There's different questions. We're mocking around the fifth hour already, which is, I think, here is about 11:30 or so, but according to some posts, maybe it's earlier. According to the Magen Avraham, I don't remember the exact times. I have to look up the exact times. But again, the difference is opinion in terms of the Magen Avraham versus the Gra.
Yeah, of course.
Which time you start. But yeah, we're talking about the Isra Ana. If you want to look in the Tshuva, so the Chelkas Yaakov and Chelk Beis Siman Ayin and Chelk Gimel Siman Kuf Pei, so they talk about this case also. And he writes, you know, and his whole Tshuva about it, where he basically says also that if the guy signs a form, okay, and then you give the goy to the form afterwards, so then that's also valid if you can get to the rabbi beforehand. But again, what we're saying here is that if you put in the Shtar Mechira, that somebody else who comes, you know, shortly to sell his chametz is also included retroactively in the Mechira from now, that also, you know, that's the best thing. Okay, that'll definitely solve the problem, according to that. At least if the guy comes before the sixth hour to sell his chametz. Okay.
Isur Achila is fifth, no.
The Isur Achila is already from the beginning of the fifth hour. Okay.
See, 1 hour, more or less the 1 hour
hour
and 20 minutes before the Isur Achila.
Say again?
More or less is 1 hour and 20 minutes before Isur Achila, in general.
It depends
hour.
On the time of, I mean, the time of year.
Okay.
It's a Shos Manios, you, according to most poskim. So,
okay.
Shos Manios is maybe an hour and 10 minutes this time of year. No, something like that. Okay, look in the Shulchan Aruch and look at the, if you want to look at the details for that. Tough Mem Hey. Simon Tough Mem Hey, they talk about Bir Chametz. Okay. Simon Tough Mem Gimel. They talk about Chametz Be'er Pesach Lachar Shesh. Okay, so quote the halacha that from Sheshos, from the sixth hour, it's Asur Bahana. Okay, and then he says the fifth hour is Asur, it's Mutar Bahana, but it's Asur Bahachila, etc., etc. Okay, that's basically, again, you can look at Simon Tough Mem Gimel for the details about that. The other major shot which comes up, and you have to leave soon, you have to leave at 5, right?
If you want to keep going for a little bit more, then
all right.
Until I get like
a phone call. I see. All right, so there are a couple, one or two more points that probably, if you want to mention quickly. An important shot that comes up very, very frequently is people that are traveling. Okay, how do you deal with a mechira for people that are traveling? So here, again, especially in terms of time zone differences and in terms of where they're going, so here again, the Piskei Teshuva has two pieces about this, if you want to look. Letter Chav Zayin, he talks about it, and then also it's in Tuf Mem Gimel, Sif Aleph, letter Aleph, he talks about it there also. Very, very important questions here. In terms of that, he also has, an RSJ Journal, he has a piece on it. I'm sure if you Google online, you can find an article about it also. In terms of the Teshuva, so the Minchas Yitzchak has a Teshuva about it, and Chelek Vav, Siman Mem Hey, you can look. The Igros Moshe, and Orach Chaim Chelek Dalad, Siman Sadi Dalad, has a little bit of discussion about it. What's the story? So, basically, when it comes to differences in time zones, a very, very fascinating question. Okay, let's say the following case. Let's say somebody's coming from, I'll take an easy case. Okay, somebody who's coming from the United States, who's coming to Israel for Pesach. Okay, the United States is 6 or 7 hours behind, depending on where you are, and time of year. Right now, it's 6 hours to New York, whatever it is. All right, he's leaving New York, coming to Israel for Pesach. So now, his Chametz is in New York. So when does the Zman Isra Chametz for him begin? So in Eretz Yisrael, where he's going to be in Eretz Yisrael, the Zman Chametz will begin for him before it begins in New York, where his Chametz is. So the first question is, which one do we follow? Do we follow the Zman of where he is, or the Gavra? Or do we follow the Zman of where the Chametz is, the Chefza? Okay, that's the first question. So this is an interesting machlokas in the Achronim about this point. Again, you look at the Piskei Teshuva in this article here. Basically, most of the Achronim seem to say that Mikra then we follow where the Gavra is. It's an Isra Chametz, it's not an Isra Chefza. It's an Isra Gavra. You can't own Chametz. Bal Yirah means you cannot have Chametz in your possession. So therefore, it would depend on where you are at the Haskalah Zman HaIsra Chametz. So according to that, in this case, in Eretz Yisrael, when the sixth hour begins here in Eretz Yisrael, that point you already have to not own your Chametz anymore. Okay. Now again, after that point, we're not going to go into this now, but in terms of Lomza, so the Gemara says that really, after the sixth hour, the Chametz is not in your possession anymore. Okay. It's Hefker. But Chazal said that we put it back into your possession for a knas, whatever it is. That's what, this whole discussion is all based on that. Okay, the Chazal put it back in your possession for a knas, and that's why we have a Chametz Shavar Lo Pesach. Again, Midoraisa, the Chametz is not yours. Okay, it's Hefker after the sixth hour. But whatever it is. So here, okay, he can't own his Chametz after the sixth hour. What's the problem? The problem is if he gives his Chametz to his Rav in New York to sell, his Rav in New York may not sell it until close to the sixth hour in New York, which is too late for him. So what does he do? Okay, hear the question? That's the Shiloh. So Lamaisa, what's done here, most Rabbanim in the United States, what they do is they do two Mechiras, okay? They do one Mechira early, let's say the day before, or the night before, for people that are going to the east, that are going to be in an earlier time zone, and they say they sell their Chametz already now, so that they have no problem being in Israel. When Pesach starts in Israel, they already don't know their Chametz. They do another Mechira later on the Erev Pesach, for all the people that are in that place, that, after around the fifth hour or so, that right around the time of the Zman Isra Chametz, then they sell their Chametz then, so that they can use their Chametz up till that point. Okay, that's really the best thing, that's the best thing to do for that. The other option is... The other option you could do is if you come to Eretz Yisrael, you can sell your Chametz with an Israeli Rav. Okay, meaning don't sell your Chametz in New York, come to Israel, wherever you're staying here in Israel, find a Rav here in Israel to sell your Chametz, and they'll sell your Chametz based on Israeli time. Okay, and then again, you'll have no problem going into Pesach that in terms of where your Chametz is. Okay. So that's the way that... those are the ways that it should be done. Bidi Evid, in that situation, if let's say he made a mistake and he didn't tell the Rav he was going to Israel, or the Rav, you know, he didn't realize the Rav doesn't do, you know, a simchir of people going to Israel. So that's an interesting machlokas achronim. Is the chavitz aser afterwards or not?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, pashas, you would think that it is aser. And that's, if you look at that tshuva from Moshe, it sounds like he's machmer there. Okay? He owned the chametz on Pesach when it was Pesach for him in Israel. It should be aser. In the Biskei Tshuvos, they quote, though, the Mishnah Halachas, Rav Menashe Klein, the Chelek Vav, who says, yeah, maybe you could be makel, a very strange kula. I shouldn't say strange. A very interesting kula, creative kula. He says that if it's based on a choser yedia, that you didn't realize that you had to be machmer here because you were going to be in Israel, you didn't realize that your chametz had to be sold beforehand, that's considered to be an onus. Okay? He thinks that in that case of an onus, because you didn't realize, maybe the Yisrael Rabbanon doesn't apply in that case. So again, even though normally we say that we are machmir, okay, normally we don't hold like that. I normally hold that this is based in the Achronim also, we keep Acre, and even based on the Shulchan Aruch, it says onus, you know, is still Chomet Shavuot Pesach. Normally we don't follow that. But he says, Rav Menashe Klein says, here there's an additional factor, and that is we can add the sniff of the one Shita who says that you follow the Chepta. This is the Oneg Yom Tov. Okay, the Oneg Yom Tov is the one who says that maybe we follow where the Chomet is rather than where the person is. So according to him, if you add that into the rest of the Cheshbonos here, that sniff will be enough to say that since anyway, according to some, we follow where the chametz is, which is in New York, so then maybe you don't have to make it, you can use the chametz after Pesach. Okay, chametz shavuot Pesach is not a serious issur. It's an important issur drabbanan, but it's thin issur drabbanan, and it's more makel. It's not, you know, so chamor. So that's why he says maybe you can be more makel. So that's a question. Okay, so make sure that, you know, the Rav teaches his congregants. By now already, this is a very common thing. So most people today are aware of this. Most people today are aware of this problem. What about on the way back? Okay, if you're in Eretz Yisrael, on the way back, all right, if you sell your chametz, it's already going to be, a Pesach for you. So, or if you keep 2 days, and this would be the question like this, all right? If you sell your chametz in New York, then you're fine. Okay, then the chametz will not go back to you until it's after Yom Tov in New York. That's fine. If you sell your chametz with an Israeli Rav, and this is true especially for people that are here for the year, let's say, okay, let's say you're here for the year, and you have chametz, let's say you're here for the year, and, you're selling, let's say that in this case, you're here for the year, but you're keeping 2 days because you're going back. Keeping 2 days. So after the second day, your chametz will go back to you according to the sale after the first day, after the seventh day of Pesach. But for you, it's still Yom Tov. You can't own chametz yet. So how does it work? Okay. So here, in this kind of situation where
Yom... Because the Rav sell the chametz according to
the
time. You have the second day also, right. And also, okay, so for one day... You're gonna have your chametz.
Yes, that's again the same question as somebody who's
Yom Tov for you. So you.
That's the question. That's the question. Same question for somebody who's coming to visit who sells their chametz to an Israeli rav. Right. You're gonna own chametz on Pesach. That's a very big shiloh.
Yeah.
So what do they say? So basically, what the achronim here say is that this is really not such a problem. Okay. They say that in this kind of situation, the rule is that you can't acquire something against your will. Okay. Enadam kona davar shelo midah, you know, bal korcho. Okay. Since you can't acquire something against your will, again, this is mentioned by the way. If you look. The Piskei Tshuvos mentions this, and this tshuva is the Minchas Yitzchak, and his tshuva I mentioned before, so he discusses this point. I think the other Achron also discussed it, I forgot exactly who, but you look at the Piskei Tshuvos, he mentions it there. Basically, the rule is that you can't get it back against your will. So therefore, even though the Rav will get the chametz back for you, let's say on the eighth day, and for you, let's say you're keeping 2 days or whatever, it's still Yom Tov, okay, against your will, you won't be kona that chametz. And therefore, the chametz does not belong to you, and there's no problem of chametz shalom Pesach until after your last day of Pesach, your eighth day. Okay? In this year, it's actually a little bit easier because this year, the eighth day of Pesach is Shabbos. So everybody in Eretz Yisrael is basically going to have to be makbid on Shabbos not to eat chametz because you have no choice. Okay? You can't buy the chametz back on Shabbos. Okay. So here's really not a problem this year anyway. But normally
we have
that's
the problem with Sephardi.
What do you mean?
Because we we say mezonot on.
So he's saying, how do you make hamotzi on Shabbos? Yeah. Oh, so this is the same question for you as Erev Pesach Shachal Shabbos.
Yeah.
So many poskim say that.
Chazon Ovadia said that if you don't have nothing, if you have no bread, and anyway, right. It's Shabbos in general.
Right.
If you have no bread and it's Shabbos, you realize it's Shabbos and you have no bread,
right.
And you can have bread, okay? You can make hamotzi on the matzah. So. We Kal Vachomer because it's gonna be. I can't have bread.
Right.
On Motzei Chag, and so.
Right. If you want to convert to Ashkenazi, I know some people.
I would never lose my rice for you. I would never lose my rice for you.
Here.
I like my kitayon.
You have to check it. It's not so simple to eat the rice. You have to really.
We check it, but we don't lose it.
Okay. We're checking.
No, the grace is really not that tasty. Oh, it's not that great. What are you? Probably you have nothing else to eat.
No, but
you
know, it's part of the. It's a
Inyan Tarbuti. Yeah, I know. I know. Yeah, yeah, I understand.
If
I understand.
Got back to my wife, I say, okay,
no
from
rice.
This year, we're
no rice.
We're not going to cook.
I know. Yeah, right. There's no tea.
We're going to cook. No, yeah, like we don't have. We don't eat all the kitirat. We don't eat all the kitirat.
Oh, yeah? No, no. You told me this last time. Right.
Beans or whatever, we don't have it.
Right. Interesting.
We have just. Okay, but.
Peseder. So that's the story in terms of that. That's not such a problem. In terms of the other direction, people, let's say, from Israel that are traveling, let's say, to somewhere else. So let's say somebody who's in Israel is traveling to the United States, for example, or to, I guess, Europe is close enough. Let's say to the United States. Okay, six, seven-hour difference. So for there, it perhaps might be better to sell your chametz in Israel before you leave, to be machmer for the Oneg Yom Tov, because then the mechira takes place in Israel, so that according to the Oneg Yom Tov, your chametz is sold at the time when Pesach starts in Israel. So if you follow an Isra Chefza, then you're fine. Okay, then you're fine according to that. And then in terms of getting it back, so the same thing as we said before. Okay, you can't be kohen of the chametz against your will, so the chametz will not revert back to you until it's after Pesach in Chutz Laretz. But the truth for that, it's not even such a problem anyway, because actually I shouldn't say that it's a problem. Meaning, if you're Israeli, you can still keep one day. You can't do malacha, but you keep one day. In theory, you could probably get your chametz back to you to own again right after the first day, because nobody sees it. It's not something in Parhesia. The difference is just that it's not that it's 7-hour difference, meaning that Pesach will be over in Eretz Yisrael 7 hours before it's over in Chutz Laretz, even for the Yom Tov Rishon. So basically, even in that case, basically, you would still, the Rav would still buy your chametz back 6 or 7 hours before Yom Tov Rishon is over for you in Chutz Laretz. So therefore, we still would say the same thing, that you're not kohen chametz against your will. Okay, that's fine. Meaning you don't want the chametz to get back to you until after your Yom Tov. Therefore, it should be fine. The other option is you can sell your chametz with the Rav in America. Just make sure, again, Meikar Din, it's fine if he sells it with American time, because that's where you are. But if you want to be machmir with the Yom Tov, so then you can follow. Go to him to do the Israel to do the sale for those that are going to Israel. Should do your sale together with them. And he sells your chametz already, the night before or whatever it is. That then you're also fine. And then after Pesach, again, it's for sure fine, because he's not going to get the chametz back until after Yom Tov is over for you. Okay, that's the story in terms of the time zones. Again, time zones are very common shaila today. That's basically the story in terms of that. The last thing. Okay, there are a number of other shilas, which we don't have time to go into now. It's really fascinating and serious shilas that come up in terms of people, that for them the sale is really a real haram. It's a real, real fake. Okay, big shilas. What do you do, especially here in Eretz Yisrael or in other places, where you have basically the Rav is doing mechira for people that are not necessarily frum, but they have to sell their store, they want to sell whatever it is, and then in the end you catch them or you find out or that they're using the chametz that doesn't belong to them on Pesach. Is that a problem?
That they have just a restaurant that they want to sell it, but they...
Yeah, they fake it out. Yeah, okay, Rabbi, sure, we'll sell our chametz. They sell it, they sign a thing, they do the whole thing, and then in the end, you find that they're either open, they're going to be open, or they use their chametz on Pesach that doesn't belong to them. So is the whole mechira invalid? Okay, it's a big, big shiloh. So the Pisgah Chuvah talks about this in Sifkat and Chaf, the Mar HaBazak that I sent to you, those Chuvahs there, they also have Chuvahs about it, I didn't bring it here. But this is a major shiloh, okay? It's a big, big machlokas aposkim about this point, whether the sale is valid or not. Okay, some say the mechir is not valid. In that case, it's clear that the mocher, never had intention at all to make the mechira valid, and therefore the whole thing is batal l'mafreya, and therefore you'd have a question of chametz shavur l'av pesach. Okay, in these kind of situations, because you can't eat that pesach, the chametz afterwards. You have to know who these people are and where their chametz is, so that you can avoid it. Other poskim say, and I think Rav Schechter told me he also agrees with this, I forgot to write it down, but other poskim say no, the mechira is still valid. Okay, at the time the mechira was done, as long as he says he has mechira, he has smichas das and gemiras das, whatever, as long as he means it and he says it, then that's good enough. And even if he uses the chametz afterwards, that's good. It's gneva. I mean, he's stealing the chametz, but it doesn't affect the mechira. Okay. So that's, again, I forgot which way the Mar HaBazak passed it at this point. I do not remember, unfortunately. I didn't have a chance to look it up before now. But you can go look it up. In the Pisgah Chuvah is here. So he says, he quotes, those that are Mekel are the Divrei Chaim, the Tzanzer Rav. Rav Moshe was Mekel and Chelek Alasim and Kuf Mem Tes.
Rav Moshe is Mekel?
Yes, he's Mekel. Really? Okay, I didn't have a chance to look this up, but he's one of the people that are Mekel. At least when necessary, and I think Rav Schechter told me that he passes like that as well. I think he also says that that b'di'avad meikar din, the mechira is still valid. The reason why they one of the reasons why they say it's still valid is because they say that they require the non-Jew to pay for all the chametz that he buys that they sell him. So therefore, the sale is valid according to all the kolay kinyanim. Okay, even if the seller didn't have gemiras das, but still the mechira is still valid because the goy is supposed to pay for everything. So he only pays a down payment, but since he's supposed to pay for everything, so even if the guy didn't care, but you know, if the goy really would pay for everything, the mechira is still valid anyway. And the fact that he takes the chametz on Pesach, it's gzela, but it's invalid mechira.
I can eat in this restaurant. I mean, let's say that my makolet around the corner sell the chametz, and then I see that, okay, it's open, it's using whatever. What can I do?
So it depends. According to the makilim, it would be mutter. According to the machmir, it wouldn't be mutter. I don't know. If you have other options, I would try to avoid it. Meaning it's a shiloh.
Yeah, I mean.
There's what to talk about. Okay, meaning there are reasons to be makil here, but... You know, this is still a major machlokas. You know, if you have other options, it may not be the best idea to get yourself into this machlokas. Yeah, I don't know. It's you know, if you can avoid it, it's probably better. But again, you have plenty of posts that are making. No, so yeah, certainly you have what to rely on. He has another case here.
So maybe in Israel I can avoid it, but maybe let's say that it's the only kosher machloket
over
the city and.
That's right here. So then there's room to be makil. He points out here also another case where he says if you have a chiloni who's not from, who basically right after the sale to the Rav, he basically starts talking to his friend and says, well, I didn't really do that. I just did it because he forced me to do it because the Rav knew it, but I didn't really have in mind so that it should be good. The whole thing is like a big joke for me, you know, only so that he says, I only do it so that the Haredim should buy my chametz products after Pesach. So
I think that the 90% of the chiloni.
So again, if in that case, so the Piskei Joseph says, if in that case he actually doesn't sell his chametz on Pesach and he doesn't use it, so then maybe everybody would agree that it's fine, even though he says it's a joke. Still, he would say that maybe it's fine.
No,
that's based
on. I mean,
on the,
if we go according to the Kavana, I can bring you several chilonim that have restaurants or whatever. That just they play the game,
So again, playing the game according to again what he's saying here, playing the game is better
than.
Doesn't
mean that they're
going to
sell. That they're going to. Touch their chomets,
right? It just means that they go along,
but they really don't believe in the mechira. I mean,
right? Okay, so that already—that's what he's saying here—that maybe that everybody would agree is fine, because as long as you didn't do any actual ma'aseh which demonstrates that you are that's a you know real that's a joke, even if you say it's a joke, that's fine. Okay, he quotes that from the Seder Pesach Kilchaso here, that once you did the ma'aseh of signing on the shtar mechira and you went through the actual sale, then any dibur. Any verbal things that you say afterwards cannot be mevatel, you know, don't
mevatel mechira. I had once a sheila like this one.
Say again?
I had once a sheila like this one.
Yeah,
because from a young couple, they explained to their parents they have to sell the chometz or whatever, because if they don't sell the chometz, it was very probably for them to go back after present to eat in their parents' house. And the lady came there and she sold the chometz because of her daughter is playing there, okay.
Right.
I was not sure that, I mean, I was sure that she, because she had kosher kitchen for the daughter, for her son-in-law, whatever. So she was playing the game, of course, because she had a perfect kosher kitchen for them, for her grandchildren or whatever. But if I have to tell you that she really believed in the idea of Mechirat Chometz, of course not.
Right, so again, that seems to be, that may be much, much better. In that case, as long as she's aware of what she's doing and you explain to her exactly what's happening, even if she doesn't believe it, but she goes through the motions, she says, yes, I agree to sell my chametz, and I'm going to, you put a sign up on the door, and that's all, that area there, there's much more room to say that it's valid. Okay. So that's a question. Again, they have another discussion here also, which we're not going to get into now, but to sell chametz to somebody else without asking him, okay, meaning somebody who's not from that you want to help out, a relative, let's say, so you, without his knowledge, you go in to the Rav and you put his name on a list of, things which chametz is sold. That's also a question. Is there a possibility of Zachan Ladam Shalom Bafanov in this situation? That's also a big machlokas of poskim. Many poskim say that that it is okay and the mechira is valid and there's no problem with chametz shavalov Pesach after Pesach with his chametz. Others are more machmir. They say that it's not a problem. That is a problem. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's
like three kilos. So, yes, but he says that also, you know, because of Zachim Adam Shlo Bifanav, maybe there's. Yeah. Okay, meaning that you are allowed to do something to benefit your friend against his will, without his knowledge. And here, the benefit doesn't have to be a physical benefit, it could be even a religious benefit, which is that he won't be over the Isra Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh on Pesach, so therefore maybe it's fine. Mm-hmm. So he quotes that from a number of the Achronim.
So according to Zeri, I can't sell the chometz of all my community.
Yeah.
I'm going to be rabbi in community, let's say I have 600 people.
Yeah,
200 comes to me to sell the chometz, 400 are not, I barely know them.
According to that, maybe. But you have to write their name. You have to know. You have to write their names and their addresses.
Yeah,
I'm saying you have to put that all in there. You got to put that all in there. But according to this, maybe that would be fine. Yeah. Again, if you want to look more carefully, look at the Pesach Shuvos here. Sifkatim Chav Aleph. Pesach Shuvos Sifkatim Chav Aleph. He's basically quoting. You have to look at the Achronim and so on. Tuf Mem Gimel, who talk about can you sell somebody else's if you have like somebody else's chametz like right before Pesach starts? He's going to give you their chametz. It's right before Pesach. He didn't come back to get it. So now what? Can you sell it even though it's not yours? Second.
Doesn't the Rabbanu also do something very similar? They also sell the chametz on behalf of everybody in the area without their knowledge.
Right. I think so. I'm not so familiar with exactly what they do, right. but I think so.
Kufalef.
Yeah. Yeah. If you look in the the Nosekel and Tuf Mem Gimel, so they have this case where you still are holding on somebody's chametz and he never came back to get it. So they say you're allowed to sell it because Zachan Olam Shabbatanav, he would want, obviously, you know, he doesn't want to be over.
The problem is because the chometz is in my house, so I'm selling the chometz of someone that
put it with your
barely
chometz.
Know where.
Right, yeah. We've had this case before, okay? That's fine.
Okay.
He quotes also the Avnei Nezer, who talks about this, and a few others, the Devar Malkiel.
That's my tradition for all the rabbonim in the world to sell the chometz of the kilot.
Here it is. He quotes here. He says there are some batei dinim, based on this, that hanogim lichto b'shtar mechira she'im mish me'anshei akhiila shachach limchor chemotzo osh eno beveso osh alochal mechira so b'shubeza siwa shehu harayonum toras based in mochem eschemotzo. Okay, even if they forgot or they're in our community and they didn't sell or whatever it is, then we have the authority to sell their chametz to zachan l'adam shalofanav. Okay, but then again, they say that this is Seder Pesach Kel Chasa, what I told you before, that maybe you have to write their names on the list. You can't just say, we're just going to tell everybody's chametz. You have to actually have their names and addresses on the list to be valid. So if their names and addresses are on the list, that many people would say this is valid. If not, then you have this difference of opinion here. This would also, by the way, be a cool in the case we mentioned before, if the guy actually forgot to sell his chametz, he comes to the Rav at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I forgot it, I can't believe it, you know. So yeah, you can, you know, can you sell it at that point? It's already not yours. It's already hefker. It's past the 6 hour.
But you
so this bid the evid, if there's a hefset merubah, again, a couple candy bars, whatever, maybe not, but, you know, for if he's got like a lot of, you know, scotch or a lot of, you know, serious chametz there, so it could be that this is a kula that you can use in this situation to say, well, if the Beis Din had in mind and they said that anybody in their community that didn't sell, you know, is included in the mechira anyway, zachal al mishal b'fanav, maybe, you know, that can get him out of it. Okay, that may be a way out of it. That's again a cool. That has to be, you know, you have to evaluate every case individually to see exactly how they sold it, if the Beis Din, you know. But it's not a bad thing. It's definitely not bad. And it could be,
no,
you know,
I mean it's a cooler.
It's a good cooler to be aware of.
Not to say, not to tell to the people. Let's say no cooler like the tzibur.
Again, if you have a shul where you actually could write down people's names, then actually this is a very good kula, a really good kula.
Yeah.
It was just an iriyah where there's 10,000 people there, and you're not, you know, everybody in the iriyah is coming to sold with me. You don't even know who they are. So that's already, again, a little bit more questionable whether that can work with the
Evan. But
in your case, a shul, it's not a bad idea at all. Not a bad idea at all.
I mean, I could do it. I never did it because I didn't know, but I could do it.
It's not a bad idea.
So.
Definitely a good idea. So take a look here, and if you want to look at the Avnei Nezer, it's a good shul to look up. Or whatever. Okay. So that's that. Do I have anything else here? I think those were the main things. In terms of the actual Shtar Mechira, so take a look at the thing that I sent you from a woolen. You look here in the Hebrew one. I'll just read it to you very quickly. So in the Hebrew one here, he's got a couple chews in the back here. Some nice chews in the back. He's got one chew in the back here from Rav Vosner about the question we said about the key. So he talks about the key a little bit, why he thinks the key, giving the key, you know, today is not such a problem. And then he's got the. Here's the shtar. Here we go. Okay, first he's got the shtar harsha here. Okay, and he says, I, you know, give your rishus to my rav, or to anybody that he appoints. La sotim kol minei chametz v'tarovet chametz v'mefortem halan, hein shaliv hein shalo elu shiafot kuchilim korel chamtzam, kadam da-da-da-da, kol ha-mechir matana da-da-da-da, v'kirot einav. Okay, basically he could do whatever he wants with it, to give it as a mechir, matana, hefker, bitzel, kirtono, kirot einav. And then he includes, the chametz includes garinim, kmachim, kemach, itriot, ptitim, chatifim, he puts this all in here. Again, not every shtar mechir has this, but in this one they do, and it's, again, it's not a bad, not a bad idea. Minei chametz taros, chametz mefortim nimsoim, be'ir, tell us, say where it is, what street it's on, where the room is, okay, other places in the house where it might be. Then he says, I also give power of attorney to my rav to rent out the place where the chametz is, okay, the cabinet or the room, and the land, which is the ground, which is underneath it, okay. Which again, that's one of the ways they get out of some of the problems I mentioned before. So you don't sell the whole room, maybe that's not allowed, but at least you can sell the ground underneath it. Then he says, "Hini mana et harav on Israel kashliach kamurshel levatzeta pulot on Israel," and etc. Whatever date is, etc. Okay, and then you sign up. They sign at the bottom. Okay, in Axel Shtar Mechira, so they got a whole different process here. Okay, zani achatum mata hamurshel mi anashem and akuvim mishmotam mishtar harasha mitzurafim lishtar zeh. Etc. This is the Rav talking now. Okay, in the shtar to sell all the chametz that they have in their possession. Okay, etc. So then he writes. Okay, now. Chatimatia dilamata ta'ida lai kemea edim kesherim v'nemanim eich shani, whatever the name is, meir blank, maskir l'nachri, okay, whoever the non-Jew is, meir, whatever the city is, and they give his tudat zahut number here in Israel, they write his tudat zahut number, assuming that he's got a tudat zahut, I guess. It's kol makomot hamuzkarim harshaot, shemunachim b'ayim v'algabeyam mitzarchei hachametz, batim, chatzerot, etc. Okay, they write even right here about the garbage can area, which is, again, an interesting shiloh, the garbage can for the chametz, whatever. All those things are rented out to him, and all the chametz inside is sold to him. Okay, harashut be a double droshet panui kol mashi eishlan b'mkomot ahein ach nitenet reshut drisat regal amaskirim afotan b'mkomot imloyak pita socher al kach. Okay, he says if the socher is not makbid, so then he should let people go into the room if they need to get something there. Okay, he says he can ask them tikin is chuto shal socher li drosh ha'miamaskirim to maftechot achadarin. That's what we said before. In this star, they write that he has the right to ask for the keys for any place, to go in whenever he wants. Okay, they write how long the rental is for. Okay, the sale, says again, is based on the value, and he writes the number. He writes the value, the rough estimate of the value of the chametz based on what people tell him. Okay, then they write that the rest of it is going to be a down payment till the other Pesach, then he's got to get the rest, etc. Okay, and then, again, it's a long mechira here, but it's, you know, it's worthwhile if you want to look at it. You can take a look for a second. One shaila I forgot to mention before is, what about selling stocks? So we're not going to go into this in detail now. There's a big shaila about selling stocks. Okay, can you sell stocks or not? Yeah. Okay, shares. This is a big machlokas as opposed to Piskei Tshuvos has a piece on that in Siman Tov Mem. And I think there's a big article about it also. If you Google online, I forgot who wrote the article. But somebody wrote a big article about this on online. It's a big machlokas as opposed to whether you should sell stocks or not. Some posts say, yeah, include miniot and whatever, in case stocks in the shtar mechira, just in case. Others say maybe you don't have to because you don't have a real share on the stocks anyway. You don't have a real share in the company. Your say means absolutely nothing. So as long as you have only, you know, a 2% share or whatever it is, that's not really considered to be significantly halachically owning it, and therefore you don't have to sell it. Okay, that's what many posts can hold, that if you're not, you don't have a really serious share, which is most people, then you don't have to sell the stocks. And others say, well, maybe it's even worse to sell the stocks because halach, legally, it may be a question of you selling stocks to somebody else. I think is a legal question, so I don't remember the details now. But they say that's also not so posh to maybe even sell the stocks. Maybe it's even dafka better not to sell the stocks, okay, according to that. And then again, you know, there's a question of whether how to go about that. So again, there's different minhagim, different rabbanim do different things. So that's basically the story. Okay, good. Any other questions? Okay, I'll try to, after, send you, see if we can find a shtar mechira, a regular shtar mechira, in either English or Hebrew, to send to you.
Oh, great.
But this one in here is again, a Hebrew one. In English, I'll have to see.
I have to clean my mic. I'm sorry.
Okay.